Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Friday edition of the program. Glad to have you with us as we close out the week and, of course, head into a big weekend. Saturday baseball semi-states across the state. Two local teams, Borden in Class 1A, Providence in Class 2A, both will play in semi-state games at the Mooresville semi-state. We'll be there for full coverage of the day beginning at 12:40 with our pregame report. And first pitch from the Borden-Shakamak game expected around 1 p.m. And around 3:30 or so, we'll have the first pitch in the Providence University game. We wish very best of luck to Coach Stotts and Coach Hutchins and the local players. Great seasons for both clubs, and let's hope that both of them could get a win and get to the state championship games, which, by the way, would be a week from Monday or Tuesday. They have those games split up over 2 days. They'll announce the classes that play on what day once the semi-state games are in the book on Saturday evening, Sunday morning. But lots of fun following our local teams. We had them out at Barno's earlier in the week for a special live program. We got a chance not just to hear from the coaches, but to hear from the student-athletes as well, which is what it is all about. And, again, we wish our local teams the very best as they head to semi-state baseball coming up here in less than 24 hours from right now. Let's take a look at the show lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines coming up here in just a few moments, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We've got a new scholarship offer out for Indiana. No surprise on this one. We'll tell you more about it. Also, some Big Ten news and basketball, some college football notes as well, and a couple local items as well that I want to get to today. So stay with us for that coming up here in just a few moments. Later in the program, it's Friday, so Dylan Wallace, sports editor of the Seymour Tribune, is with us. We'll talk IU basketball and football today. We might even hit on some local stuff as well. And then coming up later in the hour, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star will join me. We'll talk about the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series, which gets underway tonight. A preview of those games, a look at who the favorite on the boys' and girls' side is. I think it goes without saying that the state of Indiana, especially on the girls, on the boys' side, is expected to be the big favorite in tonight's first of two matchups between the two states. But we'll talk more about that series and its history as well. Yesterday I mentioned some of the local schools and the number of all-stars they have had come through their programs over the years. New Albany and Jeff, when you combine the boys and girls at the top of the list, but Floyd Central and Silver Creek and a number of other schools with the all-stars as well. We'll talk some about that with Kyle when he joins us a little bit later in the program today. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner deals, their package deals that are being offered. You can take them to go, dine in, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And first off, a tweet yesterday from Miller Kopp, the incoming IU transfer that played last season at Northwestern. His tweet was pretty basic. He said, "I think I like Bloomington, ... a lot." Well, clearly he's arrived on campus. He's taking in all the sights and sounds of being a college student in Bloomington and likes it. And I think that's probably a pretty common response for a college student this time of year, at least those that are reporting back to school for sports or summer school or whatever the case may be. But Miller Kopp, a big addition, I think, to this Indiana program for next season. He's now back on campus as well as workouts underway, both on and off the court this offseason for the IU basketball Hoosiers. Also, a big recruiting note from yesterday. Indiana had Jeremy Fears on campus yesterday. If you remember, Jeremy Fears plays his high school basketball at La Lemire up in LaPorte, Indiana. And he's not from the state of Indiana originally, but here for his high school playing with that top-tier program. Obviously, they're not a member of the IHSA. They don't play a typical high school schedule. They play a lot of national-level events. We've talked about the importance of that school to Indiana. Really, it's how many prospects they've produced that have played in the Big Ten, across the Midwest, and just college hoops as a whole. And then, of course, Dane Fife, who was at Michigan State, successfully recruited a lot of guys from La Lemire to the Spartans program, and you wonder if that connection for him will continue to hold true now that he's in Bloomington as an assistant coach for Mike Woodson. But nonetheless, Fears, no surprise, during an unofficial visit in Bloomington, received a scholarship offer. He's noted as one of the top guard prospects in the 2023 class is Jeremy Fears. So he's going to be somebody that, again, he's not from the state of Indiana, but he's going to play high school basketball next year in the northern part of the state. At La Lemire, and we'll, I'm sure, be checking in on him pretty often. He's somebody that Indiana getting involved with early and often, it seems like. So add a scholarship offer for Jeremy Fears. And a couple other Big Ten notes here in our Zaxby's headlines. Illinois yesterday, this morning, the latest Big Ten school to announce a return to full capacity for all sports for the 2021-2022 athletic year. And that's good news. And I think a lot of people, including guys we've had on this show that cover the Hoosiers, think that Indiana's headed toward that as well. But I still haven't seen it announced. I think maybe that the athletic director did mention that that was something they were working toward or hoping for. But a lot of schools now, I know Maryland and Illinois, there have been others in the conference, have already put out that they have a plan to return to full capacity for sports when things get started with fall sports and, of course, college football in the fall. So that's exciting to see that we should be, I think, across the conference and across many schools, probably not all, pretty normal environments for sports next season when things get underway this fall. So that will be good to see as well. Also, another Big Ten note, according to Wojo with ESPN, Michigan's Juwan Howard, who apparently is being courted by a lot of NBA teams that have openings, or as NBA teams maybe realize they're going to have a change or openings. He's been contacted by a lot of NBA teams, but still not interested, even in a discussion on leaving Michigan, according to his report. Also, just in the same tweet he put out yesterday, Memphis coach Penny Hardaway, also someone that is being courted in this offseason by NBA teams as well for an opening, for an interview for openings in the NBA job cycle. So it sounds like Coach Howard, who I think has done a fantastic job so far in Michigan, both with the program, navigating through the pandemic, and even recruiting as well. His recruiting classes have been outstanding. Looks like locked in for the foreseeable future in Michigan. That seems to really be where he wants to be and where he's having not only some fun, but a lot of success as well. Also, a couple other notes, a local couple notes here. I'm glad to see this one. Jalen Fairman, outgoing senior at Jeffersonville. You remember he transferred into the Jeffersonville program in the middle of the season and was eligible to play sometime in early to mid-January. And what a huge difference he made for Jeff. Jeff had a lot of talent. Jeff was going to win a lot of games last year. I'm not sure they win a sectional without Fairman taking over the point guard slot and really running the show for the Red Devils. But yesterday, Jalen Fairman received a late offer, really, in the recruiting process as an outgoing senior, as we're now in the middle part of June, from Bellarmine, just across the river. I think that could be a great situation for him. We'll see how things play out, but Jalen Fairman, quite a talent, had a fantastic finish to his career at Jeffersonville, was really big for the Red Devils in the sectional and even in the regional game that they lost to Bloomington South, and he's got a scholarship offer from Coach Davenport at Bellarmine. We'll see how that plays out. And speaking of the Red Devils, week two of the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League came to a close last night at three locations in New Albany, and Jeffersonville scored a victory over a very, very talented male team from Louisville. Of course, Mayo, we've mentioned them a number of times in Summer League Ball because that's where Caleb Glenn, who's going to be a junior next season, who's got a lot of interest from U of L, Indiana, and others, and might even be visiting the Indiana campus at some point this summer. That's where he plays. And so the Red Devils with a big victory last night. Jeff, extremely talented. I think after 2 weeks of summer league play, watching our local teams, and I'm talking about all classes, not just 4A teams, that I pegged the Red Devils at the summer point, just at the summer point, to be the favorite to win the sectional, the 4A sectional next year. Now, a lot can change between now and the start of the season, and obviously the start of the season and the sectional, but Jeffersonville with Will Lovings Watts and Brandon Razor Moore, and I bragged a lot on Razor Moore earlier in the week, and even Kobe Studemeyer, he's very, very much improved, and he already was good for Jeffersonville. I just think it's going to be really hard to out the Red Devils this year. They have all the talent they need to get the job done, and some good supporting cast characters as well. And also at Jeff, some good young players coming into the program as well. The Red Devils have lots of talent for the foreseeable next few years in their program right now. So the Red Devils here in the middle of June, my pick to win the 4A sectional if you want to think ahead to the next high school basketball season, no question about that. And speaking of summer league basketball, one more week. There are games Monday and Wednesday over in Butler. There are games Tuesday and Thursday at the three New Albany locations. Lots of great matchups in the final week as well. So if you hadn't had a chance to check out some of the local teams, or Caleb Glenn at Mail, make sure you do so next week. Admission is $2. We'll have more on the schedule for you on Monday. But been a fun couple weeks, a busy couple weeks, lots of basketball crammed into these first 3 weeks of the month. And there are other things that high school teams are going to. Some go to team camps on the weekends. There are shootouts and tournaments and other things during the week as well. But the Summer League, almost 300 games when you combine the high school boys, that includes varsity JV freshmen, high school girls, varsity JV, even some middle school boys games as well. It has been just a wild 3 weeks of basketball getting ready for next season. And a couple football notes as we close out our headline segment here in this Friday program. Indiana with eight Rivals 250 prospects. I saw a story yesterday that looks at some of the top states as far as high school football prospects for next season. The Rivals rankings, you know, the Rivals 250. Indiana has eight players in the Rivals 250. Of course, Texas is at the top of the list. They've got 41, followed by Florida with 33, Georgia with 24, Louisiana with 15, California with 13, Alabama with 10. But after those big football-producing states year in and year out, Indiana, North Carolina, Ohio, Virginia all have eight prospects. That's big for the state of Indiana, and obviously it's big for IU and Tom Allen as well, as they want to recruit the state hard as they expand their footprint because of their recent success into the South and into other areas as well. In fact, reading this story about how many players Indiana has in the Rivals 250, the headline player is Keontae Goodwin at Charlestown, who, of course, recently committed to Kentucky. So a local player, one of the eight players that is getting Indiana some attention as a state. And that's not always been the case for the state of Indiana. When it comes to football, we've not always had the number of prospects, at least the top level guys in the 250, the top 250 in the country. But Indiana, with its share of talent right now on the gridiron, and that's good to see as well. And again, good for IU football as they move through their recruiting processes as well. One other college football note, been following this from a distance, haven't thought a lot about it, haven't said much about it on the program, but it sure looks like the College Football Playoff Committee is going to announce an expansion is coming soon. I think that's exciting. I think it definitely should be more than the four teams. Going to be interesting to see the plan that they put forth and if that is adopted for as soon as this coming season. Can you imagine if Indiana, if it goes to 8 or 12 teams, was able to find its way into the college football playoffs this season? I know that might be wishful thinking, but the Hoosiers are talented. They've been ranked anywhere from 10 to 12 in some of the way early polls for next season. But I'm all for an expansion. I hate to see it get too big or too crazy. I think slow steps are good. I'd like to see it maybe go to 8, I think would be a good number, but we'll see how that works out. But it does look like an announcement could be forthcoming from the College Football Playoff Committee on a potential expansion to college football, maybe as soon as next season. We'll see how that plays out. That's a look at our headlines for this Friday, June 11th edition of the program. We are headed into the middle part of June, and with that, some big days ahead, including next weekend on the Bloomington campus from a recruiting standpoint for IU basketball visits. Yesterday, Jeremy Fears on campus got a scholarship offer during his unofficial visit, but some big official visits coming up later this month for the Hoosiers as well. And then, of course, we're just weeks away from the month of July, and that is when college coaches will hit the road. In fact, college coaches can be out late in June to watch some of these high school events as well that are certified. So a lot more coming from recruiting. It's going to be really fun to follow as we get back to normalcy with college basketball and football recruiting this summer here in the offseason as well. We'll head to a commercial break. A reminder, high school baseball tomorrow all day on the Big X beginning at 12:40. Myself and P.K. Falkenstein live from Mooresville. We've got both games of the Mooresville Semi-State, Borden and Shackamack, followed by Providence and University. Go Braves, go Pioneers. Let's see if we can get two teams in the baseball state finals next week. Back with more, including a chat with Dylan Wallace. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star still ahead. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back here on this Friday edition of the program. Seymour Tribune sports editor Dylan Wallace, my guest. We talk IU basketball, football, and more in this segment each Friday. And Dylan, I tell you what, from an IU recruiting perspective, I think a really big scholarship offer out yesterday from Coach Woodson and staff, and that was Jeremy Fears, who's going to play high school basketball next season up in LaPorte, La Lemire, a 2023 guard, one of the best in the country according to the rankings and the national guys that cover it, and he leaves Bloomington during his unofficial visit with a scholarship offer.
Yeah, that's really good news, especially just kind of that it's an in-state kid, focused on some of the really talented guys that are in the state of Indiana. You obviously want to keep that and keep those relationships, and well, it was Keon Brooks that I believe was the last La Lemire kid that Indiana might have really looked at. And, you know, this guy's, you know, Fears is 2023. I think he's ranked as like a top 30, number 23 nationally in the class. So it's definitely good that, you know, Indiana got him on campus this early in the summer of 2021. You know, that's really good news. And to have him leave with the scholarship after just an unofficial visit is a positive sign. And it kind of shows that, you know, Indiana's really on top of the recruiting stuff right now. And I think we just keep seeing different names pop up every other day, it seems like. You know, it just seems like there's names that they're going after, they're talking to, they're offering, and they're definitely being very active. And just like I said, I mean, keeping things in state, looking at the top talented guys that are in the state and making sure, you know, you have them kind of under wraps and kind of in your eyesight is always a good thing. We obviously talked a lot on the show just about how much that Indiana's probably going to expand a lot with their recruiting, you know, go after bigger national guys. But, you know, whenever you have someone as talented as Fears seems to be that's in your state, you want to try to keep him in there. So it's a good thing that, you know, he was on campus yesterday. I think I saw some pictures of him at Cook Hall or whatever it was that some fans might have taken a picture outside of. So definitely cool that he's out on campus. It seems like all the players are here as well. So I'm sure that's nice and cool for them. You know, something that I found out just from talking to Devontae Green one time was just like that every time a recruit comes for like a visit, I don't know if this is for unofficial visits, but it seems like they always play like pickup with each other. So like, you know, they always just play ball. And I think, you know, now that the whole team is here, maybe Fears ran a little bit with them yesterday. I'm not really sure. But I just think it's a cool thing that I kind of discovered is that they're always kind of playing. And I mean, that's what you want to do. I mean, they're here to play basketball. So I think it's kind of cool that all the players get together with some recruits that come and visit and they play out. So I don't know if Fears played with them yesterday. If he did, that's pretty cool. But yeah, he's definitely a talented guy. He's a talented guard. And you know, you're good that Indiana's kind of on him early. He's 2023. So get on him a little bit early, get him on campus and everything and give him the offer. So I think that they're doing everything right now in the recruiting standpoint.
Dylan Wallace, my guest. Dylan, I want to go back to Fears and La Lemire for just a moment. Dane Fife obviously comes to Indiana this offseason from Michigan State. And a couple people, Alex Bozich and others, have mentioned during our weekly segments with them on this show that, you know, Dane Fife had a lot of success recruiting players from that program. And I know each player has different parents and has different AAU coaches and different people that are involved in the recruitment process. In fact, in our world today, it seems like some of these top players almost have handlers that you've got to go through to recruit them, which is not the good side of basketball and the grassroots scene that sometimes makes its way into the news. But Dane Fife does have relationships there at La Lemire, and some of those have been big success stories for him at Michigan State. So obviously, when you look at these IU assistant coaches and where their connections are across the country, the different dots they can drop on recruiting friends and recruiting connections, again, all points across the country. Dane Fife has a big one there in Northern Indiana at a school that brings in players from, in some cases, across the world.
Yeah, I think it's huge. I'm pretty sure, you know, Dane Fife's gotten a lot of really good, talented people to come to Michigan State from Indiana, Aaron Henry being one of them, Jaren Jackson the other one. I think Jaren Jackson was actually at La Lemire, and then he went to Park Tudor. So, I mean, he's gotten some really talented players to come to Michigan State from Indiana. Obviously, you know, Jaren Jackson's in the NBA right now. He just played a huge role on – well, he was hurt for a little bit of the year, but he played a whole huge role in kind of the Memphis Grizzlies run in the playoffs. So he's a really talented player. We all know what Aaron Henry's capable of. He's kind of the guy that basically single-handedly beat IU the last two games of this past season. So, you know, Dane Fife has done a really good job recruiting this state, even though he's been outside of it. So now that he's going to spend a little bit more time in this state, I think fans should be pretty excited about what he might be able to do with some of those connections that he already has. And now he's kind of trying to tie them into staying in this state. And, he's a former player of IU and having all that kind of connection. I think it's huge, and it's going to be really exciting to watch just because of the type of caliber players he can probably get and obtain. And, you know, I think a lot of people from Indiana, whenever, you know, they watched Aaron Henry kind of beat them and all that, they're all like, man, this kid literally played in our backyard and we couldn't get him. And now you have a guy that did get him who's now on the Indiana coaching staff. So I think it's an exciting thing that he has these kind of connections within the state. And now that he's trying to, you know, probably tailor his pitch to, you know, he's not, you know, recruiting them to come play for Tom Izzo, but, you know, recruiting them to stay in the state, play for the Candy Stripes that he played for when he was in college. And, you know, obviously we all heard him say, you know, he's gonna learn how to recruit to Mike Woodson. And, you know, I'm sure everyone's still adjusting to that right now, but I think, you know, just with the job that Dane has done over his years recruiting at Michigan State, there's no reason to believe he won't be able to have as much success here in Indiana, especially kind of going after some of these in-state guys. I think it's a really positive thing, especially for him being on the staff. So, yeah, you bring up a good point there. And, you know, if he can get, you know, some of these really top kids in the state, especially the northern part of the state, you know, Jalen Washington's another guy sort of in the northwest part of the state that Indiana's going to go after as well. So, you know, we don't really see a whole lot of guys from sort of that northern part of Indiana that come to Bloomington. So it's going to be interesting to see what they're able to do. But, yeah, it's definitely good for Dane, who has those connections, who's gotten some really, really talented players from those areas that now he's going to bring that to the IU staff and potentially get some really good guys on the roster.
Dylan, we've talked so much about this IU staff and targets and who they're interested in and who they've offered scholarships to and how important July will be as they hit the road for the first time to make up some ground as they take things over in Bloomington. But I think it's going to be extra interesting once we get through the summer, even into the fall months, when more players maybe start making their decisions and their verbal commitments, to see who this Indiana program strikes with first. Obviously, they had success from the transfer portal. They had success retaining players on the roster from last year. They had success with Tamar Bates and keeping Logan Duncombe in the fold as well. All of those were big victories. But looking with an eye to the future, I think it's going to be really interesting to see, where does the first player come from? Is it an in-state player? Which assistant coach is it that maybe is the key recruiter for the first target that commits to IU for the future under Mike Woodson? Lots of interesting months ahead, of course, starting with the live periods in July.
Yeah, absolutely. We've just talked a lot of times about kind of being interested to see who, you know, where Kenya Hunter is going to go watch some kids, where Yazir Roseman is going to be over the summer in July, where are they going to be during these tournaments, who are they going to be watching. And, you know, for the class of 2022 right now, it seems like Indiana's pretty much going to keep CJ Gunn, you know, obviously the in-state kid. It seems like he and his family have a good relationship with Mike Woodson already, so it seems like he'll be staying with Indiana. And then it'll be interesting to kind of see what other domino falls for that class. And it could happen, you know, as early as, you know, late summer, early fall, to see kind of when the next guy for that class could potentially commit to Indiana. And I think it's just going to be interesting to watch it out for, and it can just continue to create sort of this momentum before they even play any games. You know, if they get a commit in, you know, August or whatever, or sometime around then, you know, you just keep gaining momentum, gaining so much momentum with this new coaching staff, this new team, before they even take the floor yet. So, I mean, it's just been a really exciting time to sort of follow what this program is trying to do, what they're trying to build. And also, you know, it's going to be interesting to kind of see how these kids react to being recruited by this new coaching staff. Because I remember with Archie Miller's staff, I mean, I would follow along with these big names, you know, just Trey Patterson, Aminu Muhammad, all these bigger names that, you know, you, Indiana would be in the final top five, top three, you name it. They just couldn't quite get these guys. And now, you know, going forward with this new coaching staff, it's going to be interesting to see how much, you know, how much of a more of a chance do they have to maybe land some of these players. Maybe we'll have to wait till some on-court results happen. Maybe not, because it already seems like a lot of guys are just really happy with sort of the pitch and the new guy, the new recruiting staff and kind of everything like that. But it's going to be interesting to kind of see, you know, where Indiana measures up with some of those bigger names that they came close to, but didn't quite were able to get in the past. So it's going to be interesting for sure to kind of tell, you know, where can Indiana get some of these big time names? You know, how interested are they going to be in Indiana before they start playing games with the new staff? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, but definitely these next couple months, especially just kind of seeing where they're going to go look, what players are going to be recruiting when they're watching them play in the AAU tournaments and all that, and just, you know, what kids kind of narrow Indiana down in one of their top picks, whatever, come the fall and whatnot. So, yeah, the Class 22 will definitely be something interesting to look out for. It also kind of tell us what they're looking for in a player. It seems like Mike Woodson, when he was just talking about, I think a couple weeks ago, about like what he looks for in a recruit. I mean, it seems like he's looking for, you know, guys that really have a lot of skill, a lot of athleticism, and that he thinks he can develop into sort of an NBA talent. And I think that's a good thing, is to look for these guys that don't do just one thing well. They have a lot of potential that Mike Woodson thinks he can kind of tap into and get them to the next level. So I think, you know, they're going to go after a lot of really talented players. How many of them they'll be able to get, we'll kind of see. But these next couple months here, when kind of, you know, the news is likely to die down, there's just going to be a lot of stuff to follow recruiting-wise. I think a lot of people are excited to kind of see what they're able to do with that. And it'll definitely be interesting for sure.
Talking to Dylan Wallace, he's sports editor of the Seymour Tribune, keeps a close eye on IU sports, but also the prep scene locally as well. Dylan, I want to transition to some football stuff with you. I mentioned in our headline segment today that Indiana, with eight players in the Rivals 250, and only the states with more are the big dogs, the Florida, the Alabama, the Georgia, the California, big places when it comes to high school football. I thought that was a success for football in our state, and I mentioned earlier Keontae Goodwin, who's a local player from Charlestown that transferred in a few years back. He's committed to Kentucky. He's one of those eight players, as is Desan McCullough, of course, the son of IU assistant coach McCullough, and he's a transfer into the state as well. So the numbers, the eight, could be skewed a little bit because of some transfers in recent seasons or even in recent months. But Indiana's prep football scene, I think, overall is very competitive as far as the number of top-level Division I talent. That hasn't always been the case. And seeing an article like that with Indiana, one of the top states for big-time football players, that's got to be good for Coach Allen and IU football recruiting, even if there's guys like Goodwin that make their way out of the state to Kentucky or other places. The fact that there are options here right in the home state with all the publicity and all the success Indiana football is having, that's got to pay some dividends moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it just creates so much more attention sort of on the state. It's obviously known for its basketball prep scene and all the talent that kind of comes out of that. And, you know, with football, you know, when I grew up, I don't remember hearing about too many crazy talented football players from the state of Indiana that, you know, go on and go to some of these big schools. But now we're kind of seeing a lot more. I feel like a lot of these kids, you know, Donovan McCauley from Lawrence North, he's coming to Indiana. You know, there's a bunch, Cooper Jones from Valparaiso, he's coming to Indiana. They got a lot of Indiana kids, some guys from Bloomington that are coming in. You know, even just Trace's younger brother, Taven Jackson, he's committed to go play quarterback at Tennessee. You know, he's going to go play QB in the SEC. I mean, it's just like, there's just a lot of talent, it seems like, some of these high school kids in Indiana, which is really good. And it's not to say that, you know, Indiana football has to get every single one of them, but just the fact, like you mentioned, that they're going out to Kentucky, Tennessee, all these kind of bigger D1 Power 5 conference schools, and these kids from Indiana that can really have a chance to go do something, it's a really exciting thing to see. And it also kind of, you know, is exciting for Tom Allen and his staff, I'm sure, because, you know, they're obviously heavily based kind of recruiting in Florida. They get a lot of their players from Florida. That's what they kind of do the majority of their recruiting. But now, you know, with Tom Allen, if there's a lot of talent kind of in this state, a lot of really high-end talent that he'd go after, and just kind of everyone in the state obviously is aware of what Indiana football is doing. And to have that advantage, to have the momentum that the Hoosiers have right now, you know, if you have so much more talent in the high school scene, it might be a little easier for Tom Allen to convince these kids to come play in Bloomington. You know, you think about a couple years ago, would that be the case? You know, if a kid had a chance to go to the SEC as opposed to Indiana, out of playing high school in Indiana, I'm sure they choose the SEC. But now, you know, there's a little bit different of a thing. They could convince them to come to Bloomington just because of the rise that Tom Allen kind of has his program on. So it might be easier that for Tom Allen to kind of keep kids in state now, which is a really cool thing. Indiana seems like a fun place to be. A lot of kids seem like they want to come there. They're getting a lot of transfers. They got a lot of good recruits, you know, guys flipping from Ohio State, Michigan, you name it. And it just seems like things are kind of going right now in Indiana for their football program. And you know, if the talent on the prep team continues to stay how it is, it could be a really exciting thing where, you know, obviously with basketball, everyone's like, you got to recruit to state. Well, maybe Tom Allen will kind of take that mentality a little bit more seriously now. Recruit to state, keep guys in the state from Indiana that they think they can make a big impact on the program. So that's always a nice thing to have kind of in your backyard. But, you know, even if they don't commit to Indiana, I think it's just a cool thing. You know, whenever you're from a state, you have guys kind of go out and be successful elsewhere. It's always just really fun to kind of follow them and see what they're able to do. So just you know, there's really nothing wrong. There's nothing but kind of bad to it. It just seems like a really good time for the prep scene in football. And, you know, we've obviously had some really good games. You know, I'm excited to kind of see what football is like. I actually haven't really covered any high school football in Indiana. You know, I obviously went to games when I went to Crown Point High School. But, you know, in terms of reporting, I haven't really done any high school football Friday Night Light games. So I'm excited kind of come the fall, you know, down in Jackson County to kind of see some of those teams, see some indie school teams that are obviously really good. You know, Center Grove was undefeated last year and won the state title. So I'm just kind of excited to see sort of all the talent around the state in football that I haven't really seen yet.
Dylan Wallace, sports I'm going back to the past there. Sports editor of the Seymour Tribune, formerly with Sports Illustrated Indiana. One of these days, Dylan, I will correct that. That is engraved into my brain. But glad to have you with us. I do want to bring up the college football playoff expansion. I mentioned that briefly in the opening segment today as well. The working committee for the college football playoff has recommended that the playoff format change from 4 teams to 12 teams. And what catches my eye most about that is the Hoosiers, on the football side of things, have been ranked anywhere from number 10 to 12 or 13 in some of these way early football rankings for next season. So if Tom Allen can work his magic, if Indiana can replicate what they did last season and maybe even take it up a notch, and you think that would be possible with some of the returning players and some of the key gets from the transfer portal for the football team, what if Indiana was able to work its way into this 12-team playoff? Now, I didn't read far enough to know if that would go into effect for this coming season or if that is a recommendation from the working committee that's going to take a while to eventually be approved and become something that actually happens in the college football playoffs. But I guess wishful thinking for Indiana fans would be to see the Hoosiers get there this season. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be very incredible. And, you know, I don't think it's in place to happen this upcoming season, but I think it's more of a pitch kind of for the future and what it could kind of look like. You know, it's just like people have so many issues sort of with the college football playoff right now, it being 4 teams and you basically know, you know, you probably know who 2 of the 4 are for sure. You probably know. And once the season kind of gets going, you probably realize that, okay, we know 3 of the 4, maybe the 4th one might be a surprise, but it's just like, you know, it's just very obviously kind of predictable, and it's taken some meaning away from some of the other bowl games, and you know, people kind of have some issues with it. And to expand it out to sort of a 12-team format where it seems like, you know, the Power Five conference winners would each get like a bye, and then you have some other like at-large bids that could get it. It just seems like it's a different whole setup that could, you know, really open up a lot of opportunities for some other teams, Indiana being one of them. Because then if you think about it, like last year, you know, they don't win the Big Ten. Ohio State wins the Big Ten, but Indiana still only has one loss the whole season. Well, okay, you know, after losing to Ohio State, that basically eliminates any chance they had to get into the college football playoff. But now if you have this expansion, if that happens in Indiana, but they still have a really great season, okay, they still have a chance to get in, you know, depending on what they're able to do on other parts of their schedule. You know, if they can beat a Wisconsin like they did last year, they could beat an Iowa like they have coming up this year, you know, stuff like that. And I think that's a really good thing, kind of, and especially for Indiana, you know, that they're going to be hanging around. You'd imagine if the momentum carries over and everything kind of works out and Michael Penix is healthy, you imagine Indiana's going to be hanging around the top 20, the top 10, you know, for most of this 2021 season. So, you know, I know the expansion probably, I don't think it's really set to be in place for this year, But, you know, something going forward, that's a really exciting thing just for college football in general. It creates a lot more opportunities for teams. And especially, you know, Indiana, we just talked about the rise that they're on. I mean, I don't expect it to end after 2021 either. It seems like they're kind of going to be building this for a while. Tom Allen obviously signed that big extension to be here for, you know, 7+ years or whatever, and it kind of keeps adding on every time they make a bowl game and all that. So it just seems like, you know, this could be an opportunity for a school like Indiana to really kind of, you know, get itself on the national stage a little bit more if this does, you know, expand the next couple of years or so and they're still kind of churning in all cylinders. You know, they could definitely be a team that's competing, you know, being contention for this 12-team playoff. And I just think it makes for a little bit more of an exciting postseason. You know, it creates a little bit more drama in terms of kind of the teams that are playing, and, you know, you got to try to win a lot more games to kind of get to the national title. So I think it's an exciting thing. I think a lot of people are excited about it, just kind of with sort of how it's presented, it could be formatted. But yeah, I don't think it's I think it said the soonest it could be is for the 2023 season. And implementation could be as far off as the 2026 season. So, you know, we're a couple of years away probably from seeing this kind of come to fruition. But just the idea of it, I think, has a lot of people excited just because, like I said, people kind of get annoyed and bored with sort of that 14 playoff where you basically know who it's going to be for the most part. There's not a lot of shock or anything like that. So, you know, this could provide a little bit more of like a March Madness type deal if you have 12 teams in there. And obviously, it's a lot tougher to win, you know, one football game than it might be to win one basketball game in terms of just the talent on the field of the court. But, you know, it's a good thing. And, yeah, I mean, if this is something that happens in the next couple of years and Indiana's continuing to kind of carry that momentum that they've had, they could be a team that's competing for those spots, you know, in the next couple of years. And that'd be a really exciting thing for Bloomington. I don't think if anyone, you know, told you a couple of years ago that Indiana would be competing for a college football playoff spot, whether it be 4 teams or 12 teams, that would be true. So it's an exciting time for sure.
No question. Dylan Wallace, he's the sports editor of the Seymour Tribune. He's with us Fridays as we talk all things IU and more. Dylan, as always, thanks for the chat.
Of course. Thank you so much.
We'll head to a commercial break. Come back with our final segment of the week. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins. We'll talk the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series, which begins tonight in Owensboro, Kentucky. Next, this is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this and for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Friday program. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. And Kyle, it's finally time for the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series, the first of 2 games tonight down in Owensboro, Kentucky. Your thoughts on the game, because from my perspective, the Indiana boys, the big, big favorite in both of these series games this weekend.
Yeah, I think you're right. And after watching them on on Wednesday night, you know, being there at Brownsburg against the junior team, they are who we thought they were, I guess you could say. I mean, they inside play, outside play. The one thing about Kentucky, though, is they will have a little bit more size to throw at the senior All-Stars than the juniors did. Not having Jalen Washington out there playing for the juniors obviously changes some things as far as those matchups went on Wednesday. And I know Ryan Osborne talked to him a little bit after the game. He felt like, you know, they needed to play, you know, a little bit better defense probably. But after watching that team, I mean, I think they, you know, they're still kind of trying to figure out rotations and things like that, which I don't know if you ever really figure out in an All-Star series with so many kids playing, but, finding the right mix of kids and, really liked how Blake Wesley played in the second half of that game. And, you know, Trey Kaufman and Caleb First inside especially were really tough to handle. So, you know, I thought, you know, pretty good showing, especially after a little bit of a lull at the end of the first half. They kind of, you know, got things going again in the second half. And I think we'll be, pretty tough to beat this weekend, I would think. I mean, that it's always a little bit tougher, I think, on Friday when you have to drive down there and play at Kentucky. But, I think it'll be a competitive game, but I think you're right. I think the Indiana All-Stars have a pretty good advantage here.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. My guest, Kyle, we've had this conversation before, and obviously last year the games, the All-Star games, did not take place like most events because of the pandemic. But I worry about the series. We've discussed the interest, especially from the Kentucky side, sometime even in getting the best players there. They've had some issues with kids going off to college. And I know at times Indiana has had some issues as well. It doesn't seem like they've had those issues as in recent years, though. Those were maybe 4, 5, 6 years ago that there were kids leaving early for college and had to get there for summer school and things of that nature. But I bring it up because coming out of the pandemic, we know that the world is changing. Sports are changing. Basketball is changing. And you don't want to see this great tradition left behind. So I'm really curious to see this week what the attendance is like, what the interest is like in the series this weekend. And I don't think we can make any final judgments off of those numbers because, again, things are going to be different and smaller coming out of a pandemic than what they would be in a normal year. But I sure hope we're able to reconnect with this series and that for something that means so much to the history of our state, really for both states, we're able to salvage this thing and that there's some new interest as maybe the games are modernized.
Yeah, I think there's some things you could do that, you know, I've talked to Mike Broughton about, even like, you know, could you do a slam dunk contest or, you know, things like that to maybe spice things up for the fans, the younger crowd, things of that nature. But, you know, I agree. I think it's hard to judge anything still. I mean, based on, you know, coming out of the pandemic and, you know, TV ratings and all the attendance rate, you know, things. And but I will say, after being there Wednesday, you know, it's a mostly, you know, non-masked crowd, and you know, some were wearing them, and then, you know, by all means, do what you got to do. But it did feel, you know, it felt like a normal All-Star game, you know, and that was one of the things I took away from that too. Is like this feels like a junior senior All-Star game. It's hot outside. It's quite a few people in the crowd and most people getting vaccinated now. So, you know, it's starting to feel, you know, somewhat normal. I don't know if anything, you know, it's just, you always have this feeling too, that, you know, nothing quite feels normal just yet. There's just this post, and this is a totally separate conversation by all means, but, it just feels kind of weird coming out of the pandemic, you know, and, you know, nothing feels exactly like it used to. And maybe that's just the way, you know, there'd be a pre and a post, and or maybe that's just my mind. But, you know, I think everything's a little bit different. The Indian All-Star Series is something that, you know, it seems like every year there's columns and articles written about, you know, what are we going to do? And oh, my goodness. And you know, I guess my feeling is, like, to me, you know, it's still special. It still holds some meaning. And just because you don't have 15,000 people at the game doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't have that, you know, and I don't, it's never going to be that again. So, you know, it's sort of like, you know, you're not going to have those type of crowds, you know, for anything in a lot of ways. So it has importance. I'm not sure going to play Illinois or Michigan or Ohio is any better than, and I don't think it is any better, you know, because Kentucky, you have that history with Kentucky. So you wouldn't have that with another state. And I know that's been brought up before. The one thing I will, you know, I would, if it comes to be where, you know, you don't have Kentucky being part of it, you know, I think you just play the juniors a couple games. And I think that would be as good as anything, and probably would have people's attention maybe more anyway, you know? So if that comes to be, I think that's probably the way to do it. Play a doubleheader or whatever you want to do. But I think that may be the way to keep the thing going.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. We're talking about the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series. In fact, my friend Brian Sullivan at WNAS, the high school station at New Albany High School, they're going to have the broadcast of both of those games tonight on 88.1 if you can't make it and want to tune in. I know there also is a video stream that you can pay for with Greg Rakestraw as well. Kyle, a little bit more about the game. Obviously, we got a chance to see the All-Stars in action against the juniors. Pretty competitive game, especially in the first half earlier this week. But Trey Kaufman-Wren, along with Caleb First and a few others, had big performances. But I thought great to see Trey, in many ways, dominate.
Yeah, I had a chance to talk to him a little bit, too. And you know, they were kind of playing, you know, it's kind of normal All-Star game, go inside, outside some. And Trey said he figured out, hey, I got Fletcher Lawyer guarding me, who's, you know, 6'4". It's funny because, you know, Fletcher, you know, he's not a post player by any means, but, you know, he was, I saw him one, I was sitting on the end of the floor and he was fouling Kaufman from behind. And, you know, the ref finally called the foul. He said, thank you. He didn't want to get, scored on inside there, but, you know, the juniors just didn't have they don't have the size to match up with Kaufman and first and, you know, the guys they can throw in there down low. But yeah, Kaufman, I thought, played really well. He's 8 for 13 from the floor, hit a lot of free throws. I think he had 9 rebounds, 22 points. So across the board, a really good game. And then first had, 22 and 12, I believe. So just overall, I thought those two showed why they are the top two players in the class by most metrics. And Blake Wesley, I thought too, I wrote about him earlier this week from South Bend Riley. 24 points, got the starting nod along with Luke Brown and Luke Goody, along with Kaufman and first. So a really good group, I thought, that starting group. And then, some of the guys off the bench, like I said, kind of finding their way a little bit still, as far as, most of those guys used to playing a lot. Jalen Blackman, I thought, really gave him a spark, 5 for 7 from a 3-point line, and he got hot. So, fun to see Blackman. Blackman's going to shoot it and make most of them. So that was fun to see as well. But pretty good, really good team. I mean, across the board, Blake Sisley, I thought, he showed why he's a really good player. I thought on the other side, the juniors, they showed some really good things too, with Leland Walker and Tayshawn Comer and, a guy named Jalen Jackson from Fort Wayne Carroll had a great game, 20 points. And I'm not sure people realize how good he is. So, that class will be really good too. Didn't shoot it. I know CJ Gunn was disappointed, didn't shoot it better, but that 2022 class will be a fun one to watch as well.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, are you headed to Owensboro tonight for the first of the series?
Yeah, I am. It's funny. It works out. My older son's playing a baseball tournament in Jasper, so I'm dropping him off, heading down there, coming back, spending the night in Jasper, then coming back tomorrow morning. So I already got a hotel just by the luck of it in Jasper. So it'll be a good trip, though. Looking forward to getting down there and seeing Owensboro. It's a neat town.
Kyle, we've got less than a minute. Your quick thoughts on semi-state baseball tomorrow across the Hoosier State?
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. I've been kind of heading into softball. I've covered a lot of softball here lately the last few weeks, and that's been fun too. So looking forward, should be a great day of baseball and softball, and then a lot of great things with the Indiana All-Star Series as well.
Absolutely. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Thank you, Kyle, and that's going to wrap things up for this Friday program. A reminder, high school baseball tomorrow on the Big X. We've got Borden and Providence. Our coverage begins at 12:40. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.